Good morning. I'm Robert Woolsey, Raven Radio News Director, and joining me in the studio today is Garland Kennedy, Daily Sitka Sentinel Sports Editor. Hi, Garland, and happy March Madness.
Happy March Madness. It's heating up, and they're playing next week up in Anchorage.
Next week up in Anchorage, but we're going to talk about last week in Sitka because it was, I keep on wanting to say, the Region 5 3A tournament, but this was all new branding and new teams.
The Eastern Conference 3A tournament, the first ever.
Yeah, and is this idea of the Eastern Conference was to try and bring more competition into this tournament specifically?
That seems to have been the idea. And so for someone who maybe hasn't followed basketball in the past, for the last several years, the 3A basketball tournament in Southeast has been nothing more than Sitka and Mount Edgecombe. They would play a best of three series, and the winner would take the region title and go to state. In the new setup, there are four teams. Sitka and Mount Edgecombe, of course. But coming down from the Matsu Valley, we also had Houston and Reddington High Schools. Those are small towns near Wasilla, and they were in this tournament. They've played against the local teams multiple times this year, and it made for a very different competition than we've seen in years past.
I don't know how long it's been since 3A, the 3A classification was just reduced to Sitka and Edgecombe, and teams like Petersburg and Craig dropped into 2A. But I want to say it's been like at least 10, 8 years, something like that, that it's been just two teams in the tournament. And while it's been exciting, it's been great basketball, it was fun to have a good old-fashioned tournament this year.
This makes it feel more like a conventional tournament. And it was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was fun. Since we're going to talk about the finals here, I'm sure I want to mention that I did go to the Edgecombe and Sitka boys game, which there was actually something on the line there because the second place team in this new Eastern Conference gets to go to state as the number two seed in 3A. So even though this was a second round game, the winner was going to be playing for the title and therefore, you know, was going to be number one or number two. So Sitka and Edgecombe were really playing hard to try and at least get that number two spot. And it was a nail biter.
Their games this season have been really incredible. It's been a pendulum swinging back and forth. But Sitka couldn't quite make it this year. Edgecombe took that win and then fell to Houston in the final. But Edgecombe will have a spot. Edgecombe's boys will have a spot at state.
Okay. They'll be the second seed behind Houston, which will be the number one team. And I want to talk more about boys in just a moment, but let's circle back to the girls because you've said before in this interview that it really was the Sitka Lady Wolves year. And, you know, things can go awry in the tournaments, but it didn't go awry for the Sitka girls this time.
No, but it very nearly did. It was an incredible game. So the final on the girls' side comes down to a game between Sitka, who was undefeated in the tournament at that point, and Reddington, again, a school from the Matsu. If Sitka won, they won the tournament. They took the title. If Sitka lost, there would have been an if game Saturday to determine the conference winner. And so at the half, Sitka is up 20-15. They hold a decent, you know, not a safe lead, but a decent lead at the half. But by the end of the third quarter, Reddington has really turned the tables, and Reddington was leading by two when we went into the fourth quarter. And then they stretched that lead to 5 points with only about 4 or 5 minutes left on the clock.
How badly is the Sitka coach panicking at this moment?
Well, that's the thing. There was absolutely no panic. Mindy Bartolaba, the Sitka coach, let her team do what they do, which is work well as a unit. And they stayed in the game. And so with about 4 minutes left, a sophomore, Maitland Young, made a three-point basket, so trimmed Reddington's lead to 2 points. But that one moment shifts the momentum in that final quarter. Reddington commits a few fouls that really were a little out of place, and Sitka evens the score. And then with only a few seconds left, Sitka's up by two, and senior Chloe Morrison makes a basket, making the lead, her team's lead 4 points, which is essentially unassailable with 10 seconds left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it boiled down to some clutch shooting at the end by one of the younger members of the team and then one of the veterans.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, when there was 10 seconds left, really the only way Reddington could have done it, they could have drawn it into overtime by making a shot, drawing a foul at the same time and making both foul shots, but that did not happen.
Right. And the Sitka girls only lost one game all year, right?
Yeah.
What does it look like for the Sitka Lady Wolves going into state?
It's a big question mark because one of the side effects of COVID on the sports world has been a lack of travel. And so while Sitka has played Reddington, Houston, Edgecombe, and a few other teams numerous times this season, they haven't had a chance to play every team, every 3A team that they're going to be facing or could face at state. So there's a lot of uncertainty about what that bracket's going to look like and how these teams are going to stack up against one another.
Yeah, and state doesn't have the double elimination model. So it's every game is kind of an all or nothing kind of thing. You only advance if you win.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a loser's bracket, I think, that plays for third.
That sounds right.
Yeah. In the 3A conference tournament that we saw just last week, you know, some teams clawed their way back through the loser's bracket to get into the title game, which is sort of the exciting component of double elimination. But at state, they haven't really adopted. They haven't adopted it. And it does sometimes create some discouraging results when a champion from Southeast goes up there, loses in the first round to a team they've never seen before, who they just haven't really, you know, decoded their style of play like they have a lot of teams during the regular season. They wind up in the loser's bracket and, you know, the wind kind of goes out of their sails just a little bit because of that one first round loss. So
yeah, and that decoding is something we've seen a lot of this season. Yeah. I think most pronounced probably between Edgecombe's and Sitka's boys, two teams that have played a lot and have been very closely matched. They're very even teams. And yeah, they each decoded the other, and it came down to Edgecombe to win it in the end. But that was anyone's game.
Right.
Yeah.
I mentioned that I wanted to circle back to boys. We were talking about the Sitka-Mount Edgecombe game. Mount Edgecombe went on to play Houston, and Houston was undefeated all season long and in the tournament up until this final game. So if anybody could take them down at the regional level, this was Mount Edgecombe's shot.
It was.
And I guess they didn't make it easy for Houston.
They didn't. And the score, this is one of the games where the score does not tell a complete story. So after the girls win the game, the Sitka girls win the game, the boys play. And Houston wins 65-43, but like I said, not the whole story. It's a much closer game, particularly in the second quarter, where Edgecombe trims Houston's lead significantly. And they really hold the team in check for a while. They play a tight man defense, and they really shut down Houston's outside shooting. Not a whole lot of three-pointers. Going off memory, I think Houston made 4 three-pointers in the game when they like to score three-pointers. So Edgecombe really put up a fight.
And I bet the BJ McGillis gym was just deafening.
It was, and it really felt a lot like pre-COVID.
Yeah.
It felt a lot like a basketball tournament before everything happened, before the world ended. It was loud. There were students. There were bands. There were cheer teams. Everything.
Yeah, that was my experience too. When I went to the Sitka Edgecombe game in the second round, very very loud. Had both the Edgecombe and Sitka bands playing, but the audience masked up for the most part. The players didn't have masks on, so they could compete.
Yeah, though ASAA requires regular testing for players.
Right. So, yeah, it was definitely reminiscent of the good old days, and you know, Knockwood will have more of this to come in the future.
I hope so.
Garland, what are the Sentinels' coverage plans for the state tournament next week?
Well, physically, I will be in Sitka, so I'm going to be getting in touch with players and coaches during the tournament to get some scores, but then I'll follow up with them when they get home and talk to them and see how it goes. Hopefully things go well. Of course, the top priority of anything is no injuries, but after that, I hope the local teams give a good showing.
All right. Let's hope they do. Garland Kennedy is Daily Sitka Sentinel Sports Editor. I'm Robert Woolsey, Raven Radio News Director. Thank you for joining me, Garland.
Thanks, Rob.
You've been listening to Sentinel Sports on Raven Radio.